VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And this is your deplorable host of the VanWee Financial Hour, Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I'm Louisa Russeman.
And I'm Dave Russeman.
A lot of names today, huh? We have special guests who have joined us. They are the company known as Box Meta LLC, which means absolutely nothing to any of you, but it means a lot to us because they are our technology providers. And we're going to concentrate a lot today on a topic on everyone's mind called cybersecurity. You know from listening to the show frequently how much trouble there has been out there with identity theft, with monetary theft, and so on. And the industry is getting a lot better at providing solutions for people. But people have to implement them or they're no good. The fact that something exists will do you absolutely no good. So we're going to tell you what you can do. And it's always been my belief that a show like this is not here to tell you exactly what to do. It is to tell you simply what can be done so that then you know not only what questions to ask, but who to ask those questions of. And that's what we're going to do with Louisa and Dave today, along with, of course, all the financial questions that you would like to bring on board. We are postponing our trivia quiz this week because we have so much to talk about, and I don't want to spend time on that when I got to take it away from these folks who have a more specific topic. So my apologies for that if it hurts anybody's feelings, but it sure was easy for me because I didn't have to make anything up this morning about that.
I have one for you.
Oh, good. Well, see, you're going to get... going to get the usual anyway, so we will get to that. Again, I remind everybody that not all financial shows are created equal. We are here live in the studio every single Saturday at this time. If you listen to other shows that are canned, pre-recorded, you will hear exactly what the people want you to hear and not one thing more. But if you want to control the editorial content of this show, it's as easy as picking up the telephone and dialing 904-222-8255 or simply 222-TALK. So, that said, we're going to tell you a little about us, we're going to do a quick market wrap, and then Box Meta is going to tell you what it does and how, and then we're going to take the first break and come back, and we're going to hit topics for the week, which are all about improving your safety from an identity and monetary standpoint. So, shameless self-promotion, case one, Adam.
All right. So, as you know, we actually have day jobs outside of the radio. And we are fee-only financial planners located in Jacksonville Beach. We're very easy to get to from all parts of town, right off of Butler Boulevard at the Marsh Landing Parkway exit. And we have a pretty good web presence going. We have a website at VanWeeFinancial.com. If you can't spell VanWee, that's okay. I'll tell you how. It's VanWie, or if you're in the military, Victor, Alpha, November, Whiskey, India, Echo. And on that website, we do a lot of blogging. We update at least twice a week with relevant topics, things we talk about on the radio, and some that we don't. So check back frequently. You can also find us on Facebook if you're on that. It's facebook.com/VanWeeFinancial. We're on Twitter as well, at VanWeeFinancial. And if you're one of those people that doesn't like calling radio shows but has a really good question, just email us at info@VanWeeFinancial.com.
Very good. All right. A quick word about my view of the market before Adam takes over. It was a week that wound up and felt like it was down. It was horrible. It was a quad witching day, which we got through. which simply means that all the options and futures expire. That means it's a great big volume day. There is no one thing that happens on quadruple butching days. It sometimes goes up. It sometimes goes down. Take no heed from the results of yesterday. We broke a bad streak by going up a little bit. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this month, but you understand, you all should if you don't, that September is the most volatile month in the market. Don't be surprised. Don't do anything stupid. Now, yeah, you've heard my side.
It's funny that you say that about it felt like it went down, but it actually went up. I actually had to go back and double check my numbers this morning
as I was putting
this together, because I could have sworn the market was down this week, but it was not. It was actually
pretty good.
Yeah. Especially the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
And we did warn you a couple weeks ago that this volatility was coming, and sure enough, it is here. Of the last six trading days, five of them have closed 80 points different or more than the previous close. So,
and that sound you heard in the background all week was Tim Cook yelling out, "Thank you, Samsung!"
I'm going to get to that in a bit.
I figured you might.
Yeah. So the volatility makes a lot of people nervous, but you really have to remember that the ability of the markets to go down is what allows it to go up. If you don't have any downside, you're not going to get any upside. So try not to freak out too much. I know it makes people really nervous, but it is what it is. You have to, if you're an equity investor, you have to be in it for the long term, and try not to freak out over short-term events like this, especially Fed-driven events. That's all it is these days. It's so annoying. So the NASDAQ actually rose 2.3% to lead all three of the indexes. It wasn't that long ago that the NASDAQ was actually trailing the Dow and the S&P by a wide margin on the year, but it is now the best performing index for the year. The S&P this week just gained about 0.5%, and the Dow eked out a 0.2% gain. The volatility actually hasn't just been limited to stocks, though. The bond market has seen its fair share recently as well.
Yield curve is getting steeper.
It is.
If you are thinking about refinancing your house, get off your butts and do it right now.
I'm actually in process. It is a great time to do it.
It is indeed.
The rates really only have one way to move at this point.
Yep, so. And the increase in the long-term yields, which is what I mean by the rate curve becoming steeper, means that mortgage rates are going to start up, and they're going to start up real fast. So yep. Get her done.
And all that volatility, again, you can attribute pretty much to the Fed. It is just all around. The feeling around our office is that the quarter point rate hike will come in December, but we'll see. There's some speculation that it could be as early as next week, but I'm not buying pre-November
rate hike. I'm rattling next week's rant against the Fed.
We've been ranting a lot against them recently, if you're a regular listener. So the big winner in the market this week, as Dad mentioned, was Apple, and therefore the tech sector. But Apple had an iPhone launch this week, which on its surface didn't seem like it was going to be a big winner. The news was centered around what the iPhone 7 didn't include, which was a headphone jack. So that was the most controversial thing. And a lot of people don't like that, going to Bluetooth headphones and things like that, which I use already, and they actually are a lot better than having a wire.
Sarah told me there's an adapter that goes on the power slot, too. You can't charge it. Same
price. It comes with an adapter in the box.
Okay.
Yep. And anyways, the Note 7, which is made by Samsung, was the competing product, and that one had been critically acclaimed on its launch until the spontaneous combustion problem happened.
Went from critically acclaimed to critical.
Can't take it on an airplane.
No, it actually got banned from all air travel, and that was just the first in a series of bans, and eventually Samsung finally issued a recall on those phones, and now Apple, it created a few billion dollars worth of market share or market cap this week in the rise, and the iPhone 7 pretty much sold out. So the only thing that rose faster this week than iPhone 7 sales were Donald Trump's polling numbers.
I could say a lot more about that too, but this is not a political show.
No.
It is politically motivated in some respects, but it's not political. All right, because we got a break, we'll have to introduce the guests again and so on right after the break. But I'm going to ask them to tell us a little story. And I learned this the day we all met a couple years ago. Exactly where were you 15 years and 6 days ago this minute? And wait till you hear this one, folks. This is really interesting, and it'll tell you a whole bunch about why they do what they do, where they do it. All right, gotta run. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Floyd. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And?
Louisa Russeman.
And Dave Russeman.
Got to get him on the charged up program here. All right, without any further nonsense from me, I'm going to ask them to tell you all what they were doing 15 years and 6 days ago, right this minute, which I think was very instrumental in them living here now, if I'm not incorrect.
Absolutely. I'll start. So I moved to Jacksonville, or we started transitioning to Jacksonville, I guess, in 2004, 2005. What led us here was really a series of events. The first one that I can probably think of was on that dreadful day.
That was 9/11/01.
Yes, 9/11/01. Steve had it mentioned, but I had a 16-year wonderful career at Lehman Brothers. I started working there straight out of college. It was a wonderful opportunity. I worked with amazing people and, you know, got to experience some really wonderful things in terms of markets and global knowledge and just a lot of wonderful things. So we were a very tight-knit group. And we were based at Three World Financial Center, which for those of you that have never been down to that area, there was a street called VC Street that ran in between the World Trade Center, the towers, and the financial center. And we're at work. I worked on the trading floor. I was a global equity sales trader for institutions in New York and Boston and Canada. But we're sitting there, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, we traded global markets, so we're dealing with our orders from the previous day. And we're wondering why energy markets are moving. And everybody's looking around for clues and wondering why is energy ticking up against the rest of the market? Hmm. And an hour and a half later, our answer became clear. So for those with conspiracy theories, that's my two bits. Hmm. So I'd been in the financial center since 1990, and so I guess you could say it was my second home. So what happened on that day, not only was it very horrific, but it was very personal. Somebody came at me. And while I was lucky enough to get on the ferry and get out that day, it was certainly an experience that we'll never forget. And Dave, who worked at Merrill Lynch, and I'll let him tell his story, but he's been a network engineer working for bulge bracket firms since he started his career as well. And at that time, he was at Merrill Lynch, and he'd also been working in the financial center for many years. And so he was lucky enough that he had just actually switched positions the week prior. Mm. But from my perspective, you know, the buildings shook. We looked up and we saw a big ball of fire coming out of the building, glass and debris hitting our windows. And so they told us to, you know, get away from the windows. We didn't know obviously what was going on. Everybody assumed it was a Cessna or something just hitting the building. And then the things that ensued after that, you know, the horrific things that we saw, you know, obviously are very hard to explain. So that was the beginning of our change. Then after that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about business continuity when we get into the cybersecurity and mm-hmm. business planning piece of things. But it's interesting because our business continuity space was across the river looking at Ground Zero. And in all of the testing that we did year after year, they never planned that the entire company would have to go and work permanently. And they didn't plan for that. So we'll get into planning a little bit as we talk about cybersecurity. But so after they moved us out of our business continuity space, a couple of months later, they moved us into Midtown. And when we got to our desks, there was an emergency pack on every desk.
I remember that.
And in that emergency pack, there were goggles,
gas masks,
whistles.
Quart of vests. Vodka.
That would have been a good idea. I think they should have added that. So it was just such a shift in everything that we knew, and you were in the middle of it. And so here you are trying to continue to do what you're supposed to do on a day-to-day basis, and then the alarms would go off in the middle of the day, and the bomb-sniffing dogs would come through, or there would be an anthrax scare, and out you'd go to the street, and the National Guard was out there, you know, fully armored. And so it was just a very, and that's what I would say would be the beginning of the transition. And I'll let Dave talk about what brought him here to Jacksonville.
Okay. I need to interrupt you for just a second, because the rules of the game are always that callers go to the head of the line.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Everett.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to ask a question about these short-term contracts that I don't guess it's real recent, but that came into a being where you actually buy a contract to buy or sell the stock on a short-term mm-hmm. basis. Do you know what I'm...
Sure, options, puts and calls.
Yeah, it's just an option. It's mm-hmm. an option. And I didn't know what... supposedly, you can buy it on Monday and sell it on Friday.
They trade just like stocks, yep.
Yeah.
They do have expiration dates. That's what the quadruple witching was about yesterday. But the thing about options is the stock market is risky. The options are 10 times as risky. Some of them have an unlimited loss potential. Others have a certain amount of downside risk. I'll tell you how risky they are. As a CFP, and we manage a lot of money for a lot of people, we are not allowed to use them because they're too risky. In fact, the law says that if you're dealing in your own IRA, there's only one type of option that's allowable, and that's a covered call. That has a limited amount of risk to it. All the others are too risky. If you want to get into them, I would suggest you spend about a year studying and you learn to graph each one. Because when you can put them on a graph, you can learn what the upside and downside risk are and you can predict your own buy and sell points on them. But for the average person, no, just stay away. It's so complex.
If you do want to get into it, though, I would research what a covered call is and try that first. Yeah. And once you're comfortable with that.
I've had covered calls.
Okay. If you're that familiar, that's a good thing then. You can lose a little money, but you can't lose your shirt.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I've lost plenty doing it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I was just curious about these ones that are supposedly this one company that says, well, we've grafted it and we've figured out a method of predicting which ones will, or where the bottom is and where we can come out with it. But I was kind of leery of the whole thing. So I guess
there's a three-letter word I'd like to use at times like that. Run!
Run, yeah.
Don't walk. Don't look back. Run.
Right.
They don't believe any of them. Everybody's got a gimmick. Everybody's got a system. And they'll tell you about all the times it worked great. But they won't tell you about any of the times that it didn't. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Diversify, hold for the long run. You're far better off, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, is there any area, of course, I'm too far up in age to be doing a whole lot of risky business
mm-hmm.
anymore. So, I mean, I'm up 77, so I've got
child.
To be careful. Yeah.
The more risk you take at your age, it better be with less and less money, and it better not be something you're going to be living on just in case.
Right.
But if you want, as Adam said, if you want to do anything at all in the options, I might get back into covered calls or looking at them. I think if you go to a place like Investopedia, you can do sort of a mythical account where you're actually trading not your own money and not their money, you're just doing a kind of a what-if trading thing. See if you're any good at it, practice at it, and see. If you're not doing any good, then be glad you didn't have any real money in it.
Well, the only thing of it is, I think at my point in the life cycle is, I think I better just stay with something safe and not risk playing games anymore.
It sounds like tremendous good advice to me. It's probably what you would hear if you came to our office.
Right. Okay, I appreciate you. And
well, thank you very much. I'm glad you called.
Wish you luck on your separation from your other guys that you got to do with.
Appreciate
A listener from the old days. I always love to hear from you folks.
Thanks, Eric.
All righty. Have a good one.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it was a lot of years. But that was a long time ago. All right, Dave, you want to fill in the rest of the story on moving to Northeast Florida?
Where do I start? Well, obviously the whole 9/11 thing was, something that just, it's hard to explain without...
It's bad enough from 1,200 miles away.
Yeah, and I happened to be home that day. Like she said, I was transitioning jobs, so that Friday was my last day in that position. I would have been right there with her. So I had a week off, so I was just enjoying time with my son at home, and mm-hmm. I get a call, turn on the TV, and sure enough, it's like your house got hit with a plane because, you spent most of your life in those buildings. It's.
I almost hate to ask because I'm afraid I'm going to know the answer. Did you know some people who were lost?
Yes.
Tons of people. Cantor's Fitzgerald, I knew some people that I worked with in my Solomon Brother days.
It's so sad.
The guy I sat next to you for 4 years, he was up on the 75th.
Yeah.
There was another manager I worked with on one of the big projects at Merrill Lynch. He just happened to be in a meeting at Windows of the World. You know, wrong place at the wrong time. And there's so many stories. And then I knew some firemen, and the stories they tell you are worse than anything we could even tell you.
Adam had been up at Windows on the World not terribly long,
about ago. 6 months earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine. I literally cannot imagine being right there and having that be your friends and your life. It's beyond.
Well, they locked us in the building. They wouldn't let us out. And that was the scariest part, too.
And I remember calling her on the phone saying, I don't care. Let them fire you. Just leave.
But they wouldn't let us out.
Throw a chair through the window and get out of there or something, right?
So it was, and then the phones cut out, which didn't help.
Oh, man. Let's start up after the break here with the fun side of life, which always starts to me with moving to Florida.
A new beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a new beginning and a much better climate. And,
yes.
And then how you got into this particular business. And, of course, it was great for us because we went out looking for techie people who knew the financial services industry, and their background was perfect. So we'll tell you more about that. We've got to run. Do not go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Louisa Russeman.
And Dave Russeman.
All right. We've been through some history. By the way, lines are open, 222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. We've been through some history that ended poorly. Now let's pick it up on the part that's even better. Somehow this business got formed, but it didn't get formed in Florida right after that, I noticed. There's a time lag in there. So tell us how it developed into what it is today and where it is today.
Well, it's sort of a combination of events. Mostly, since I was in the IT industry, it was easier for me to sort of go off on my own. So I started in New Jersey consulting, just primarily doing IT support, IT services for businesses that needed it. But when I was at Merrill, there was a brief time where I did a contract down here in Jacksonville. And when I came down here, I kind of sold it to Louisa. I was like, hey, you know, I know we're talking about maybe moving, you know, out of state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should really consider Jacksonville. I've been down there, you know. I spoiled her. I took her over to Ponte Vedra Sawgrass Hotel. You know, I put on all the all the goodies for her to kind of make convince her. But, we came down. We realized that it's Florida without the Florida, so to speak.
Traffic.
Being from
that's bad enough nowadays.
Being from the Northeast, you know, it was an exciting change. So I flew her down for a weekend. We kind of made the decision to move. And, you know, the rest was history. Then when we came down, I was working at Citibank initially just to get, you know, money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that just from friends and running around down here that the small business space back then was kind of just open. They weren't getting good advice. They weren't getting good services, not at least to what I was used to seeing in Manhattan. So I kept getting pulled in different directions. Hey, can you help us do this? Can you help us do that? So I started marketing BoxMeta as more of a support IT outsource company than just a consulting business, which is what it primarily was originally. And then the financial services just kind of took off because of our background. I mean, that's pretty obvious when you go into a firm and you know what Bloomberg is, you know Reuters, you understand trading, you understand the regulatory requirements.
Now that's a biggie.
And then you have, you know, a wife that is Series 763, mm-hmm. Has traded, has done international equities, has been all over the world, you know, with clients. It just made a natural progression into our more finance-based customers, which is why the majority of our clients are in the finance accounting space.
Okay, tell people how to get in touch with you if they want to.
Yep, there's a few ways, but the easiest way would be to call 229-0922 and ask for me, Louisa Russeman. You can visit our website, www.boxmeta.com.
B-O-X-M-E-T-A, and I've asked them a couple of times why.
What does that mean?
Because it was available.
Well, there's a funny story around that, too, but the company was originally called, and like Dave said, when it was a consulting company in New Jersey, it was called Iron Falls. And that was pre-9/11.
That sounds like Michigan.
So after 9/11, the company had to take a name change for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dave locking himself in the office for an entire day. And he came out and he said, the company's name is Boxmeda.
Okay.
And at the time, there was like, you know, algorithms for searching the internet. It had to be an early letter in the alphabet. It had to be 7 characters. And so there were a few things. But so
method
yes,
to your madness.
That's it. So he came up with Boxmeda, and it's our unique name.
Well, it's easy to remember once you get it.
That's it.
We were thinking more along the lines of, you know, Xerox. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It's made up. So, I mean, it means something today.
Yeah.
But so in general, we were just trying to have a techie name that was available.
Yeah. Sure.
Because if you've ever tried to look for a name on the internet, you'll find that pretty much any 10 random characters is probably taken.
I just used my last name. It's never taken.
Yeah. You're lucky. if you see the clients we work with and they try to get a domain name and they have a 20-character, you know, so-and-so's financialservices.com, you really want to type that every day?
Mm, not me.
Yeah. So, so our website is B as in boy, O-X, M as in mother, ETA.com. Or you can come and visit us. We're on Hartley Road in San Jose, 3020 Hartley Road, Suite 200. Come up and see us.
All right. And what is a typical client, if there's such thing?
Sure. Typical client is, you know, financial services, and that could be anything from a 100-person broker-dealer to a small financial advisory firm and everything in between. CPAs as well, ranging from a small, maybe, you know, 2-3-person CPA firm up through a 40-person CPA firm. Outside of that, I mean, we do obviously serve clients in a lot of other industries, manufacturing, design, a range of other professional services. But so I would say, you know, small firms all the way up and through, you know, 100 or so. But the key really being a psychology. They have to embrace technology as a true driver of their business. And those are the relationships that really thrive.
Okay, good. Well, you set us up, literally. They design the system, set it up, maintain it, all that. And we are definitely technology driven. So I can't tell you enough about what they've meant to us. So if anybody wants to get a hold of them and need any of that information, call the office. Maybe Adam, can you throw up a link on the website or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Okay. All right, now we got a few minutes left before the next break and then the whole fourth segment. Let's talk now cybersecurity. This is a big deal in our business, and anyone who thinks it isn't a big deal personally or in their particular business, they better start thinking again. This is serious, folks. There are people out there every single day. Ask Colin Powell and a lot of other people. So tell us what the state of the art is and where most of us are lacking, if you would.
You know, it's kind of a tricky game because, you know, a lot of people think they put antivirus on their computers or they have a firewall and, you know, they're protected. And that's just simply not the case. It's sort of a culture. It's a constantly evolving thing. You have to be up to speed. You have to stay alert. The game changes all the time. You can't just say, I bought, you know, a $30 piece of software, so I'm protected. Most of the attacks these days are from something from the inside that's been compromised. It's not like you left the door unlocked. It's you clicked on an email that you shouldn't have clicked on, or you got a phone call and gave away your password to someone that sounded like they were the right person to give your password to. So we find that, believe it or not, number one place we start is education and culture. And you kind of have to breed within your organization a alert, cyber secure, friendly environment. You don't want people afraid to bring up issues, right? You almost want to encourage a reward system. Hey, I want you to identify risk in our business. I want you to identify cybersecurity vulnerabilities, or somebody's leaving private information on a desk, or insecure in an email, and kind of reward them for that. And I've even heard some success stories of contests where they get points and employees win prizes, whoever has the most points in identifying cybersecurity risk. So it almost encouraged them to look for the vulnerabilities rather than just react to the vulnerabilities. So, you know, from a technology standpoint, obviously there's a lot of products and things you can implement, and it's sort of specific to each business and their workflow and their methodologies. 'Cause you can have clients that do scanning, and they just leave those scans of, say, for instance, financial applications with bank routing information just sitting on a computer that's their laptop, and then they take their laptop and they leave it in their car, and the car gets stolen. You know, so then we're talking about, are we encrypting your laptops? Are we securing those documents in some way? But then you have people that might just email those, and email's inherently insecure.
Okay, so, I need to interrupt once more.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for having the wonderful people from Boxmeda.
Well, it is truly our pleasure.
Well, I mean, being around the FPA and all of your peers around there, I keep hearing different people mentioning them and saying, God, it's a breath of fresh air, you know. I just wanted to insert one question.
Sure.
And as you have a chance to address it, I think a lot of the people that are listening probably are like me. Maybe you've worked for a company and you've gone through all the, you know, annual required training and you've learned things from that. But it's like a different world when you walk into your house. And it's like, I'm sure somewhere there's some good checklists of here's things you can do that readily, like I started looking after having my charge card changed a number of times by the wonderful people at Chase who ring the bell quickly whenever something happens.
Oh, that's good.
And I realized, you know, if you just block out the three little digits on the back of your card, when somebody steals it, they don't have it unless they've got a scanner.
Good point.
Or if they just
Marshall, I'm up on a hard break. Can I put you on hold for a second?
No, just let them answer.
Okay, we'll do. All right, this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Thank you. Welcome back to the final segment. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Louisa Russell.
And Dave Russell.
And Marshall called right before the break and was asking the difference between home and the office. What can you do? And we've been talking about that during the break. And come to find out, there isn't a heck of a lot of difference. You want to go ahead and talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're on the internet, you need to be protected. You need to be vigilant. You have to understand the risks that are out there today are not just I have software on my computer. You have to make sure you update regularly. You have to make sure you understand the exposure that you have on your home network, open Wi-Fi, for instance, guests coming in. You know, are you connecting to things that you own? And in general, are you aware of phishing requests, emails that come in that may not, they may look like they came from a person that you know.
And as I said earlier in the break, there's no F in this, folks.
Exactly.
PH phishing.
So we see it all the time. Someone will get an email from one of their friends that was compromised saying, hey, check this out, or check out this link, or check out this document. And they open it up, and it doesn't matter how much security you have, if you're going to execute it and you're going to open the door, you're going to let it in. So the little things you can do, for instance, we tell people if you're going to do online banking, use a separate account for those transactions online. If you're going to use an ATM card online, create a separate bank account and only put the funds in that you need for those transactions. Little things like that you can do. At least you isolate your risk. Credit cards, I don't really consider to be a huge risk because the credit card company usually protects you.
Marshall mentioned that too. And American Express is that good also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that couple of times that has happened to me, they call immediately, bang, it's done. Just like that.
But get a password manager, get your passwords unique per website. And, you know, it's kind of a farce that you need to change your password every so many days. They've kind of, you know, NIST came out with a report that pretty much said, don't change it unless you believe there's a reason to. But, you know, make sure it's a complicated 8-character or more password, preferably phrases, and get yourself a password manager.
Okay.
And you're better off than most people.
Okay. Well, Adam had a series of questions. Oh, we got, excuse me. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're great, thank you. What's on your mind?
I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm 58 years old. I have a 401k at work. I'm putting 7% in. My boss is putting 4% in.
Lucky man.
How do I know how much I should, how do I determine to have this, the amount of money I'm going to need at retirement? How do I determine how much I should be putting in there?
Well, if I were you, I would pick up the phone and dial 685 1505 between now and Monday, and then come over and see us. That'd be the easiest way.
Okay.
Adam's really good at all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that we do all the time.
I have a 401k, but I had stopped putting into it because I was afraid of what was going to happen, and then you talked me into putting back into it, but now I'm kind of nervous with Hillary having a chance to get at my money again, so that well, I get kind of nervous about that.
Oh, what you just told me was our work here is just getting started. Why don't you come and see us and talk about it? Because everybody is a particular case. We can do generalities on the radio, but we can be very specific when you're in the office, and it won't cost you anything but a trip to the office.
And just remember, which political party are Goldman Sachs employees allowed to donate to?
That's right. And which one aren't they allowed to? So don't be afraid of the election results. That's our bottom line here. You make a plan that's based on long-term goals, and you stick to it, and you bite your tongue when you feel like saying something nasty about the party with whom you do not agree. But why don't you give us a call? That is truly the best thing I can tell you for today is come and talk to us. There's no obligation. Spend an hour and talk about your situation very specifically, and we'll give you some of the insight that we've learned over the years.
I sure do appreciate it.
Well, I thank you for calling. We appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Too. You have a great weekend.
All right,
Adam had a list of questions for the folks, and I think you pick some of your favorite ones, and let's just do a little Q&A, and hopefully we'll all learn something from it.
So one of the ones that I think is people think about a lot is there anything that's more prevalent locally, or is every threat everywhere? Is everything pervasive at this point, or is Jacksonville a hub of a certain type of scam?
We generally see the same attacks in most places that are similar. Majority of them are phishing attacks. It's really not specific to location. It's specific more to the benefit. As you know, ransomware is the new pretty much attack vector.
Can you tell us, for people that don't know, can you explain what that is?
The short version is they compromise a machine on the network that has access to data or critical systems, and they encrypt your data. And believe it or not, a large quantity of small business owners do not have a proper disaster recovery or backup recovery plan, and they can't recover. So
Luis and I were talking about this yesterday, what degree of backup you need, and it's very dependent on what type of data you have.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not something you can just say, well, I back up my systems. We can get into a whole disaster recovery conversation. But in general, we've seen it with our clients. We've seen it with clients on their home computers, things that we don't necessarily support or maintain. They get a ransomware attack. They get their files encrypted. And, you know, if it's a client of ours, it's easy recovery. We have solutions in place that we recover from. But we've had a client do it on his home computer, and he has...
We had company files. It was critical data.
15 years of stuff on his home computer that no one knew he was using. And, you know, now he's considering paying a $7,000, you know, Bitcoin ransom, where if he had just spent maybe a couple hundred dollars a year, he wouldn't have been in that predicament. And, you know, it's hard to say because they're getting smarter and smarter in how they attack. We had a financial client that an employee broke protocol, got an email from an existing client, looked legitimate, with a PDF file requesting a wire transfer that was identical to one in a previous month. They forged the entire document. The employee didn't do the verbal confirm, which is part of their policy. You actually have to get the contact on the phone.
That old two-level thing.
So, you know, you can still do all the right things from an IT perspective and still fail. And that wire transfer happened because people get lazy and they don't follow procedures. So it's a whole process. It's not necessarily a product. So you have to make sure that your clients, and the ransomware is the big one these days. I mean we
Dave,
get them
Dave
in
had
our
a
inbox
client this
every
week,
day.
Right? Dave, mm-hmm. I mean, you had a client this week that had, what, how many attacks this week?
Yeah, we had a client this week that got 12 attacks we've stopped. And that's in 1 week.
We're not talking about General Motors here.
No.
These are little companies.
They're a software development company, and they really don't have anything that's really of any monetary value. But if they can bring your systems down for how many days, what does that cost your business, and what is that worth to you?
Boy, it's so incredible. What about PC versus Mac or Apple versus Android? Is there any one that is more secure than the others? Do you recommend one over the other?
It's kind of you can go the Mac PC debate all day long. I'm a believer in use what you're more comfortable with, but realize that there's certain risks with certain platforms that maybe other platforms don't have, but they're all vulnerable. You still have to know not to open that message or click on that web link, or there might be one specific for Macs and there might be one for specific for PCs. I do personally believe that the Android platform is more vulnerable, and it's just because of the manufacturers. It's not because of the platform. Google releases newer versions on their devices, and then, you know, Samsungs or HTCs or whatever don't really release the updates properly, and then people are left more vulnerable. And the Android store seems to have more attack vectors than the iPhone has had. But then again, there was a big iPhone SMS hack a few weeks back that, you know, compromised phones. I just think Apple's ecosystem is a little more closed. It's a little harder to attack. But from a Mac versus PC standpoint, Mac seems to have less attacks just because...
Percentage of the market.
But I don't really think you should feel safe on any platform. You should still educate yourself and do the proper, process on your own.
That makes sense, yeah.
Systems.
So you're really... It doesn't matter. The platform doesn't matter.
If you're on the internet, you're at risk. Okay. You have to understand your risk.
The old days of buy a Mac because nobody writes this stuff for Mac because there aren't enough of them out there. That's changed a little with the new market share from Apple.
Right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, darn it. This show went as fast as I thought it would. But during the break, I pinned them down and they've promised to come back. So we're going
to
pick this up again.
Yeah, we really just scratched the surface of
this
topic,
did.
I feel like.
Like I said earlier today, it's not to tell you exactly what to do. Our job here is to tell you what can be done, and then hopefully we'll give you a little direction of where to go to get good answers. Thank you so much to the Box Meta folks. Like I said, if you want to get a hold of these folks and talk to them, you can always find them through our office or our website. Be happy to give you a referral. And they are absolutely what they hold themselves out to be. That is for sure. All right, we'll see you next week, same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Thanks for being there.